Seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the word you will find in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, part of verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This was the voice of Almighty God speaking, probably in an audible way, to his servant Joshua. And friends, we should be eternally thankful if we are God's people that God does speak. When Adam and Eve sinned and transgressed the command and brought ruin on them and their future race, God would have been perfectly just, had no more to do with the human race but leave it to destroy itself into eternal misery. But blessed be his holy name. Even in the very event of that terrible catastrophe, which it certainly was and is, he spoke. He gave a very precious promise that the Old Testament church laid to heart, and they waited for it. Joshua was one waiting for it. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. And they were still waiting for the seed of the woman to come in Joshua's day. And this was the hope of the Old Testament church, looking toward the coming of the Saviour. At every step and unfolding of divine providence that you see in the Old Testament was a moving on toward that purpose. So eventually you read in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Note that word, the fullness of time. It's rather like a cup gradually filling up, the fullness of God's time in all purposes comes. And some of you who are waiting for the Lord to appear in various matters, there is a fullness of time. At the moment, that cup that God has given you is gradually filling up until God's fullness moment comes. But the blessing of it is that through all these changing scenes of the Old Testament and the New, God's purposes are absolutely firm, absolutely certain, absolutely sure. He's of one mind, none can turn him, and whatsoever his soul desireth, even that he doeth. And Job went on to say, but he performeth the thing that's appointed for me, and many such things are with him. And what a mercy, dear friend, if he's appointed for you or for me salvation. What an appointment, a perfect robe of righteousness to cover you, a full atonement to clear you of the debt under the law, and a fullness of grace to support you while the work of grace continues until it's crowned with glory, the thing appointed for you. Yes, for all of God's dear people, that appointment will be fulfilled. It is the fulfilling of those words, it is finished, on Calvary's cross. But if God has had that matter in view for you, and God grant he may, because if not, how solemn the consequences. Also, there are appointments in your daily path. Wise appointments, David Denham calls them. Not always understood. Sometimes deeply unfathomable. And that in the end, we sometimes sing, by God's saints it stands confessed, that what he does is ever best. And especially when these times of change come, and there are changes in our lives, new chapters open up. As we pass from one chapter to another, sometimes there are those questions: how will we be? How will we fare? How will things fall out? Well, our text tells us at this time of great change in Israel's history, and in Joshua's in particular, that the God of the previous chapter will be the same in the new chapter opening up. As I was, so will I be. There are three things, first of all, I want to bring out of our text before we move to another interpretation of it. And the first thing is divine sovereignty. Moses had been taken, and Joshua raised up in his place. Divine sovereignty. Here he exalts neglected worms to scepters and a throne. And here the following page he turns and treads the monarch down. We have no reason to question God in this. We have no reason to query his wisdom in it. Moses' work was done. Moses has been taken home to glory. And now Joshua was raised up to fill his place. And how encouraging it must have been to Joshua, under this sovereign hand of God, to believe, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And those of you tonight who feel to be under that sovereign hand in one way or another, and sometimes it's clearly seen in our lives, he gives and he takes and he makes no mistakes, whatever may be the amount. Nor have we a right, however he smite, to ask him to give an account. At such times, dear friend, it's very comforting to the soul to be able to rest with God-given faith on this sovereign God. God's sovereignty, though it's a great, great deed, unfathomable by the finite man, mind of man, and yet to God's dear people, to believing people, to the dear children of God, God's sovereignty is their friend. I say that again, he's their friend. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Do you believe that tonight? Joshua needed to believe it. It was a great loss to lose Moses. He was his spiritual father, one he had no doubt confided in, lent upon in many ways. And now there was this huge gap left in his life, and God had taken Moses. But here was the comfort: as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Secondly, we have the unchanging God here. As I was, so I will be. Putting New Testament language, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. As I was, so I will be. As I was in the covenant, ordered all things and sure made before time began. Those three glorious persons in that eternal transaction. The electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the quickening love of the Spirit. As I was, so I will be. The gifts and calling of God in that covenant are without repentance. That means God will not change his mind. You sung of it. You do sing of it. That hymn just now you were singing of. And his loving kindness changes not. And that's why he said to Jeremiah, yea, I have loved thee. That goes right back to the covenant of grace with an everlasting love. There with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The same in the covenant. He's the same in yesterday in the history of his word. You think of the various things through which Moses had passed and Joshua accompanied him in many of those things. He now says he's the same still today. That's very important to Joshua, Because where Joshua stood at that moment, he could look across Jordan. It was already overflowing its banks. It was the most unpropitious moment for them to arrive at Jordan's banks, really. Other part times of the year, it was a small stream, easily forded, but now it overflowed its banks at the time of harvest, the word of God says. And there it was, an unfordable river. And there they were waiting to cross it. And across the river, he could already see Jericho, that walled city, 40 feet thick, some godly scholars tell us, and the armed men standing upon it, and the gates barred and bolted, a formidable obstacle already in view, and many more such walled cities before him. Joshua, how are you going to fare? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. The past that Joshua had passed through was an encouragement for the future. Now, dear friend, look at your past for a moment. Those of you who fear God, just recall for a little while the past blessings God has favoured you with, the deliverances He's granted, the prayers He's answered, the doors He's opened, the crooked things He's made straight, the rough places made plain. Did ever trouble yet befall? He refused to hear your call? And has He not His promise passed that thou wilt overcome at last? He's the same. And now He'll be the same in the future needs that arise. Yes, there is a Jordan to cross. Yes, there's a Jericho to overcome. Yes, and many more things yet may come in your pathway. But friends, He who's helped you hitherto will help you all your journey through. As I was, so I will be. Look at it in the gospel sense. Oh, precious Christ, think of how He was on earth. Yes, the one who overcame the tempter in the wilderness, the one who multiplied the loaves and the fishes, the one who touched the untouchable leper, the one who quietened Galilee's waves, the one who caught sinking Peter, the one who sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane's garden in His holy agony. He who stood as a lamb before her shearers dumb in the judgment hall and went forth bearing His own cross to Golgotha, hanging between two thieves. He who attended to the dying cry of the dying thief and assured him of salvation. He who Himself cried, "It is finished," bowed His lovely head and yielded up the ghost. He who laid in the tomb and now is risen again at the right hand of His Father, this same Jesus, the same in His compassion, the same in His love, the same in His mercy, the same in His faithfulness, the same in His person, always this same Jesus. As I was, so I will be. This is a great mercy, isn't it? As I was, so I will be. So divine sovereignty, and then we have this divine unchangeable character of our God. The third thing is this, the spiritual nature of it in particular. Because the Lord was with Moses in a very spiritual way. You know, the Lord does overrule the actions and decisions of ungodly men. And you can see that in the history of the world. Ungodly men have occupied positions of great authority, and yet the Lord has overruled their decisions for the honour and glory of His name, but they've not been spiritually minded men. They've just been a tool in the hands of the Lord for a season to bring forth His purposes. But it was not so with Moses. Moses was a spiritually minded man. Moses was a man born of the Spirit. Moses was a man of faith. Moses was the man of whom we read who forsook Egypt. He was the man who esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. He had respect to the recompense of the reward. But in particular, Moses had that blessed relationship with his God so he could pour out his heart before Him. I don't know how many times you read in the book of the Exodus and Numbers in particular these words, "And Moses cried unto the Lord." And the Lord never failed him. Whenever Moses came to Wits End Corner, there was the Lord waiting to help. Whether it was the Red Sea, or Mara, or whether the fiery serpents had bitten. It mattered not what need arose. Whenever Moses cried, the Lord always had an answer. Oh, how encouraging this was to Joshua. As I was with Moses, that prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God, so will be with thee. Whatever need may arise, Joshua, the throne of grace will never be empty. The door of mercy will never be shut. No, as I was with Moses, so will be with thee. And then, in this sense, he had within him, by the Holy Spirit's aid and application, an exceeding great and precious promise. One that was like Moses' rod in a spiritual sense throughout his long journey. Certainly, I will be with thee. I like that word, certainly. It is something immovable, isn't it? Whatever changes may take place, this is something certain. There's a dear member of mine who passed away last year, quite suddenly. She's one of the fearing ones, and throughout her pilgrim way, she could never lay hold of things as confident as she would like to. Though she was a godly woman, had a good experience of the Lord's mercy. But the news came that she was taken to hospital and they were uncertain about the outcome. And I went to see her, as a pastor should do, and there she was. The consultant was speaking to her, and she was just listening to what he had to say. And when he went away, she said, "Pastor, the Lord has spoken just one word to me this morning. It's the word certainly. So I know it's well. I won't be here long. I know it's well." Within 3 or 4 hours, she'd gone. Resting on that, the Lord's faithfulness in that one word, only one word, certainly. "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." Friend, God is faithful to his word. Sooner all nature shall change than one of God's promises fail. And if you've got a word in your heart, written by the Holy Ghost, engraven there, that's as certain as God is. That's as certain as God is. If that word were to fail, God would fail. And God cannot fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. You're a favoured soul this evening hour. If you're walking around on this dim, dark spot earth with a word of power from the Holy Ghost in your heart, you didn't imagine it, you didn't steal it, you remember the power and the authority and the unction with which it came. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Again, something else about Moses. The one thing Moses could not stand was an absent God. That was the one thing that drove him to despair almost. You read in Exodus 33. "Depart, and with this people take them up to the land of promise. I'll send an angel before thee." That word "depart," it sounded like a death knell in Moses' heart. It seemed as if the Lord wasn't going to go with them. As if he'd got to go, as it were, in his own strength. "Depart." The hymn writer puts it another way. "Depart from thee, it is death. It is more, it is endless ruin, deep despair." Moses felt that. And he couldn't go on one step further in that way without the assurance of God's presence. And he goes up the mountain. Oh, how the dear man pleads. Oh, dear man pleads. And the one thing he wants is the Lord's presence. He knows if God's presence goes with him, it's well. If the Lord withhold it, he wasn't going to go a step further. Well, how he rested he not. "Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us?" And then he put the matter right back in the hands of his God. "Consider, this nation is thy people, Lord, not mine, thine." And Joshua would say the same. "Lord, this people are thy people. This is the one thou hast ordained to possess the land of Canaan, the land of promise. They're thine. This burden is thine. The responsibility is thine. This work is thine. I'm only a tool in thy hand, as it were. Consider, this nation is thy people." And the Lord gave him the promise. Oh, how many times he must have gone back to it. He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What more could the dear man need? Or with thy presence, go not with me. Carry us not up hence. Oh, friends, there's one here to this evening hour, and you're contemplating a step. You've honestly said that before the Lord. You will not, cannot, dare not, must not take that step without his presence. But if he's given it you, dear friends, Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you, undismayed, go on. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And again, one further thing about the spiritual side of godly Moses, and that is this. He had communion with God, and that kept his soul alive. He had so much opposition, didn't he? From sinner and from saint, that dear man had many a blow. But oh, the communion he had with his dear heavenly Father, his dear God, we might say that reverently. It was that sustained him. And friends, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. You can't keep alive your own soul, you know. And if you neglect the means of grace, you do that to the neglect of your own soul. Remember that. So you need, like Joshua was exhorted, to read the word of God, to meditate therein day and night. And we are exhorted the same. Yes, because our soul is precious and we can't keep it alive ourselves. God must bless the word to us. God must give us his Holy Spirit. And thus we need to be asking for it, begging for it, longing for it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So here, first of all, there was a very encouraging word to Joshua. He couldn't have asked for more. Less would not have done. This satisfied every possible vicissitude or need that would arise between him and the end of his journey. Moses got safely home. Joshua, so will you. As I was, so I will be. But then, at this time, there are two other things which flow doctrinally from our text, which we need to remember. We think for a moment of another scene where the Lord took home one of his servants, Elijah. And what a man Elijah had been. How many mighty miracles had been wrought through that man's ministry. But then the time came for him to be called home. And notice two things. It wasn't when Elijah wanted to go to glory. Elijah said under the juniper tree, let me die and not live. I'm not better than my fathers. That wasn't the Lord's time. It's a time to be born, a time to die. Joshua, Elijah, your work's not finished. It's not finished yet. And he had to return. Go return. And sometimes God's servants need that. I know of a dear servant of God who some years ago got very, very depressed about his church. And he had quite a bit of opposition and things weren't going as he wanted. He was ready to give up. He said to his wife, I'm going to go to a certain anniversary service to hear a certain prime minister preach and see what he has to say, see if the Lord gives him a word. And he was hoping that the word would be to tell him to give up the burden that the Lord had laid on him. Well, he went to his anniversary service and the minister engaged to preach was ill. And a man he'd never heard of or met before walked into the pulpit. And this man gave out his text, two words, go. Return. And this minister told me, I never had such words with such power in my life. I had to go back. My work wasn't finished. Go, return. Yes. But you see, the time did come when Elijah's work was done. He didn't die, did he, like we expect to have to? The Lord translated him like Enoch. But the point was, when he came to Jordan, he smote Jordan with his mantle, and it divided. And over he went with his friend Elisha. And then Elisha is asked to ask a request of Elijah before he dies, before he goes, I should say. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Thou hast asked a hard thing, said Elijah. Not too hard for God to give. Elijah couldn't give that, could he? Elisha had opened his mouth wide, hadn't he? If you see me taken from me, then that will be so. And so it was that a chariot of fire appeared and separated Elijah from Elisha and took him up to glory. And the mantle fell down at the feet of Elisha. And he picked it up and went back to Jordan. And listen to what he said. Where is, not Elijah, he gone. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smote the waters and they divided. He went over dry shod. Elijah's God still lived. Moses' God still lives. The God of our fathers still lives. What a mercy. Yes, and what has the Lord Jesus Christ said about that to his church? Because I live, ye shall live also. I like that little hymn of John Newton's. God of our fathers, be the God of their succeeding race. But then there's something else we must consider of doctrinal importance. Moses, as you know, was significant of the law. He was the great lawgiver. Under Moses' rule, God gave at Mount Sinai the Ten Commandments and many other laws as well for the children of Israel to live by once they came into the land of Canaan. He was the lawgiver under God's hand. But he could only get the people to the borders of Jordan. He couldn't bring the people into it, into the land of promise. There's a lesson there. The law has a purpose. It's good if it's used lawfully, says Paul. Its purpose under God is to show us our need of a Saviour, to show us our need of poor sinners of salvation, is to strip us of any hope in self. Is to strip us of any confidence in the flesh. Is to bring us to nothing in of ourselves. That's the law's work. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But the law itself cannot do what Christ can do. The law must be dead in that sense, Paul says. It must come, as it were, to an end for God's people as far as salvation is concerned. And Moses dies. He was typical of the law. And as soon as he had died, now arise, go over Jordan. Joshua, you see, name is the same name as Jesus, really, Saviour. And Joshua is typical of the gospel. But something else very precious. You know, when Moses died, the Lord hid his body. Couldn't be found. There were two reasons for that. One was they would have made a shrine of it. Knowing how idolatrous the children of Israel were, they'd have found where that was, they'd erected some shrine over it. Before long, it would have become an idolatrous place. Oh, how prone man is to wander and to false religion. But there was a deeper meaning. What does the hymn say? Now if we look to find our sins could ne'er be found. What a mercy if God has buried our sins and hidden them, not to be found, as he buried Moses, not to be found. What a mercy, that is so. Moses is dead. The law is satisfied. No more claim over God's people as far as works is concerned. It's all done by a precious Christ. He's finished the work God's dear Father, God his Father gave him to do. He's brought in the righteousness that covers, the blood that atones. He's laid down his lovely life, a ransom for many. What more could he do for sinners? And he's magnified that law. He's honoured it. And by delivering people from its curse, he brings them under the blessed sound of the gospel. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. So even in this change in the history of Israel, there was a gospel being preached. Law and gospel has been set before them. And it is set before us tonight. But as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Then there's one further thing that we must consider. Moses had to be made willing, did he not, when it first came to him, this burden? There was a time when he thought he could bear it quite easily and fought with the Egyptian and slew him and then parted to Israelites the next day, and he soon found they weren't ready to be ruled by him. And he wasn't ready to rule them. The Lord's time hadn't come. For 40 years he has to dwell in the wilderness. 40 years in Pharaoh's court. 40 years in the wilderness. What a change. What a come down in natural things. From almost sitting on a throne to being a shepherd man. That was God's teaching for him. Before honour is humility. But then the Lord's time came. The burning bush, the Lord commissions him. But how reluctant he was to go. It's not me, Lord. I'm not eloquent. You've got the wrong man. That's what he was saying. No, I haven't, Moses. Now, therefore, go and open with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. With the Lord with your mouth, dear friend, in prayer, in praise, in speaking one with another, whatever office the Lord might call you to, then, dear friend, something will be done. Now, therefore, go and open with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. In the end, all his quibbles and all his reasons were swept aside. He was made willing in the day of God's power. And he loved the God whom he served, and he loved the people whom he was serving God for. Now Joshua was made willing. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Friends, we do need to be made willing. My people shall be made willing in the day of my power. And when he puts forth that willingness in our heart, then it's easy to run. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. But until that heart enlargement comes, how hindered we are. Oh, what slow progress, if any, we make. But blessed be his holy name. He can make his people willing in the day of his power. And he did Joshua. There's a lovely word. You have it in Deuteronomy. When Moses spoke to Joshua before he died, he says, thou must go with this people. Not you can go, Joshua, if you feel able to. Strong enough, able enough, forceful enough. No, thou must go. It's my will for you to go. And if it's my will for you to go, then as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. There does come, dear friend, in the life of God's dear people, those musts. Those musts. And when God lays a must upon you, dear friend, then he determines it will be fulfilled. Thou must go with this people. And so Joshua had to, but he didn't go grudgingly, couldn't go drudgingly, he went willingly. Sometimes I walk down Chippenham High Street and I've seen a mother with her 3-year-old. You know what 3-year-olds can be like with their tantrums, and she wants to go one way and the child another. She holds the child firmly enough and it goes along, but it's not a very pleasant way to be going, is it? But you know, dear friends, God's people are not dragged like that in the way of his commandments. What is it that moves them? What moved Joshua to take this tremendous burden? And he knew what it was. He knew what Moses had suffered. He knew the trouble he had had and the persecution, the opposition. The poor man had witnessed it all. How was he made willing? Love did it. Love did it. When God has a command to fulfill, which nature untoward would shun, love brings to compliance the will and causes the deed to be done. And what love is this? I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about nothing less than the love of God in Christ Jesus, shed abroad in the heart of a poor sinner, moving it. As Paul says, constrained, the love of Christ constraineth us, moves us, draws us, takes over in our hearts and lives. Would to God we knew more of it. Paul could say this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Loved me, a poor wretch. Love when a wretch defiled with sin, says the good hymn writer. Loved. Who loved me and gave himself for me. And when that love fills the heart, then there is this question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How can I show who I am and whom I serve? How can I show my love to this great God who's had such mercy on such a wretch as me? I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows now in the midst of all his people, in the presence of the Lord. Come and hear, all you that fear God, I will tell you what he's done for my soul. Or you say, but there's Jordan before me, it's overflowing its banks. I can already see the first city, Jericho, in the way, and they're armed and they're giants. I know all about that. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. The Lord only calls you to take one step at a time, you know. Just one step at a time. And what do we read? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. We come back where we started this afternoon, that blessed hand. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Friends, Moses got safely home. Joshua got safely home. And if Moses' God and Joshua's God is yours and mine, we too will get safely home. May God add his blessing. Amen.